Thank you, Brother Schultz, esteemed Dean. Soon as I heard we would lose our other dean here as he moved south, I said, Lord, put Brother Jason Schultz in here. And I'm thankful for answer prayer. But greetings to him, to the trustees, which have been faithful for many years, and to Beverly Manor Baptist Church, where we hold so many members since 1979. And all the love that all of our family, the Bowling family, has received, we're most grateful for it. Got a lot of memories here. You know, I'm going to share one. It's been a few years ago. The occasion such as this, where I was sitting, Brother Charles Pittman came up and sat by me. And the memories began to go and tears began to flow. I thought it might be his last time with us here for such an occasion. And indeed, it was. One so dear to my heart, as well as his wife, but who was as a father to me. But this church has meant a lot to us. And the month of May, you know, you have a month, perhaps, where there are many memories. It's May 1958. I graduated high school down in Kentucky. And May 1959, I left Kentucky, went to Cincinnati for work in a factory, which ended up about 19 to 20 years in Ohio. It was May 20th, 1961, that our Kathy was born. About a year later, I was asked to join a gospel bluegrass group called the Sons of the Bluegrass. As the old saying then, we cut a couple of records. And as Brother Jason pointed out, I had my master's degree in May of 1972. So this is just another great memory for us here. Among our guests here, good to see Brother and Sister Ra. Got to meet Wednesday night. Heard preach. I had plenty of time to seek out the face of the Lord as to what he wanted me, what text he wanted me to use, and I was going this way and that way and this way and that way. Then I prayed more. Ended up with John's Gospel 21. It was 1965. We bought our first house in Milford, Ohio, and that's where the Lord saved me. 56 years last Saturday night. I learned he saves unsaved church members. That was a great encouragement and a measure of grace. Doing some work out there in the yard and had my little, I guess it was a transistor radio. Now, some never heard of those things. They're bygones. And there came on the fellow giving the news. And I come to like that fellow, Paul Harvey. And this is the first time that I ever heard, I'm going to read it to you, and I don't know where along the way the Lord put in my hands what Brother Paul Harvey read. It's called One Solitary Life. He was born in an obscure village. He worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30. He then became an itinerant preacher. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a house. He didn't go to college. He had no credentials but himself. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race. All the armies that ever marched and all the navies that ever sailed and all the parliaments that ever sat and all the kings that have ever reigned have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life. How he's affected my life since May 1963. And many of you have, but it was the life of Christ in you. And I'm grateful for each. John's Gospel 21. Verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And watch this, and on this wise. When you come through reading the Gospels and you come up on those three little words, just stop and think. You're getting ready to read some details of the event that follows. On this wise. So John has said, there are some details I want you to know about. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Thomas is borne a bad name by many, Doubting Thomas. Sometimes read John chapter 11, you'll find he was the only disciple that said, let's go back into Judea, we'll die with him. The disciples said, don't go over there, the Jews tried to stone you the last time. Thomas said, let us go die with him. And they went. He influenced his comrades, and they went. There's Nathanael in there. I saw Brother Brandon's wife earlier in the week in her workplace. I told her, I said, I'm calling your husband Nathanael. He said, well, why? Because when you begin reading this book, John, first chapter, you find his name. He steps into the background. You don't see him again. But when you get to the last chapter, lo and behold, he's still there. That's loyalty. Brother Brandon has shown that in many ways. He started in the beginning and he stayed right in. And many of the rest of you are on the way there as well. So there's Peter with them. Verse 3, he said to them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Business failure. And I've heard preachers say, Peter, shame on him. He quit the ministry and he's going back to his old job. But I've learned also through these 51 plus years, there are times when the Lord is finished in a particular place, work fulfilled. You don't stay around and wait for another call elsewhere. Got a good friend in Kentucky, a pastor friend. He's probably been preaching longer than me. He said, Brother Bowden, I want to tell you something. I've never been without a pastorate in these many years. Well, that's commendable. But I also got to preach in the church where he last left, and it had gone down to almost zero. I say, stayed too long. You say, you're a judge. Maybe so, Lord, forgive me. So morning arises, verse 4. There's a stranger on the shore there. He has a question. Children, have you any meat? They didn't know who the stranger was. Probably through the fog, they could barely see the figure, but they hear a voice. Have you got anything to eat? He said, no. It had been night and nothing. Business failure. So he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, verse 6, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes, and there is one with perception who's noted for being so close to the Lord Jesus Christ, identified himself only as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He said to Peter, hey, Lord, hey, look, Peter, it's the Lord out there. Oh, that's all Peter needed to hear. Simon Peter, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. May I digress for just a moment on this? I'm not going to ask for show of hands, but how many of you would go out to the street to your mailbox to get the mail and your underwear? I said, no. Why not? It'd be shameful. All Brother Peter did so he could better work, he laid off that big cloak, if you will, and he had his tunic, which underwear came down to his knees, and he was in the presence of all male comrades there. So I can see now why that this is pointed out, that he was naked. It's just as embarrassing for either or. Either or. So the disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. My, they were hungry. Night and nothing, nothing to eat. He said, you got anything to eat? They said, no. Hungry fishermen. Verse 9 is the first thing that really strikes me in this. And you talk about the Lord loving and caring. Any of you ever sinned? Oh, no, no, no. Liars. How many of you ever committed a wrong you haven't gotten right yet? Whether you need to seek forgiveness or to grant forgiveness. I think about all of us know the background of Brother Peter enough to know that he denied the Lord on a particular night. The night that he, Jesus Christ, was being in the greatest illegal trial ever known. And the scripture tells us in chapter 18 that he warmed himself by the fire. That he did. And now the Lord very lovingly puts an object lesson out there as a reminder. The revival of old memories come immediately. Let us ever thank the Lord, beloved, when he puts before us an object lesson or words that brings back the old memories of things that we haven't made right. He lovingly cares for us enough to not let us go. It's been many, many years ago I was asked to. It's probably while I was in Kentucky to preach at a Bible conference here. And I don't know why it should be on my mind, but the Lord gave me this text. And I don't eye people, but there was a pastor sitting right over here. I reached a point here and he closed his Bible. He never did open it the rest of the time. Well, that's his business. It was just something that I saw. That's all. And you and me, when the Lord puts an object lesson before us that reactivates our memory, that takes us back 1 month, 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, it's a reminder that something we haven't made right yet with the Lord. And we ought to thank Him for doing that. He cares that much for us. So who sees that coal of fires? Brother Peter. A fire of coals. But what a blessing lays there. Had to be a miracle of Christ. He could have laid the fish out there without using a coal of fires. If he'd wanted to. He could have sent an angel like he did to Elijah. An angel food cake, you know. It was great for him. But he wanted a fire of coals there. It's a reminder because he was keeping his appointment that he had with Brother Peter there. He must talk with Brother Peter. There were how many? 153 fish. Brother Peter counted them. I do not know the significance of a number there. So, verse 12, Jesus said unto them, come and dine, and none of his disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. Oh, how he cares, how he provides, how he cares for us. How he cares. He's the greatest provider. A God shall provide all your need. Not in the plural, as often hear it and see it. All your need. You have Jesus Christ, you have every need met through him. It's no longer in the plural, but yeah, we itemize them. Verse 14 is another thing. Now, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Well, what does the third remind us of? Yeah, you're right. How many times did Brother Peter deny the Lord? Yeah, even as he stood by the coal of fires, he said, I have no association with that man. No association whatsoever. See, are we ever tempted to do that if we're scared for our life? Think of all the saints of old that never backed down. Christ is my Redeemer. He's my great high priest. He's my Lord and Savior. And never backed down. But I would have been like Peter, I'm sure. I would have been fearful for my life. If they take my leader, let me see what's happened to him. I would want any association. He denied that there was any association. And so it's the third time. So they enjoy a good meal, and it's good for them to see the Master. And now let's just shortly look at the reason Jesus came there. Verse 15, the scene changes a little bit. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter. Now watch, he gives him his old name in case of address. Simon. Some of you remember who introduced Simon to the Lord Jesus Christ. His own brother, Andrew. Are there in your family relatives that you would like to introduce to the Lord Jesus Christ? Sure there are. We pray for them daily, don't we? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon, son of Jonah. Love thou me more than these? I used to hear preachers say, you know, Peter, do you love me more than these fish? I'm inclined to believe that he is speaking of Peter's fellow disciples. And when we look closely, when Peter said, I love you enough, I'll lay down my life for you, the rest of them chimed in and said, we too. You ain't going to get ahead of me. Do you love me more than these disciples love me? Peter said, though all men forsake you, I will never. It's easy for us in our pride to boast what we'll do or not do. The old nature is ever active. One thing I can't wait to do, beloved, is to be rid of my old nature, where I can love him with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my strength, and bow down and kiss his feet, my Redeemer, who loves me so. Oh, think of the cross. Could be just the tip of the iceberg of the great love Jesus has for us. Do you love me more than these disciples? And that word love there, agape, we're all familiar with that. It's an unconditional love that will lay down one's life for another. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love. So he doesn't use that word anymore. He changes. It's not agape love, the unconditional love as we think. It is the love of friendship. You know that I am your friend. He didn't go there where he did on that dreadful night. Jesus said, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Jesus still holding to what Peter had said on that night. I love you enough, I'll lay down my life, I'll go to prison for you, I'll go to death for you. Was he sincere? Yes, he was. Indeed, he was. You know, it's easy for us to want to believe there's a truth about us that's not real. It's not real, it's not a truth. But we want to believe that it's true about us. And sometimes someone tries to show us differently, get angry. No, you ain't changing my mind. I know I've got this truth. It's about me. So he stays with, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. It's the second time. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. Verse 17. He saith unto him the third time. How many denials were there? Yeah. Three. The third time. Jesus still addresses him with his old name. You know, it takes us oftentimes a long time to outlive our old name and live up to the new name. So the third time, 17, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Was it because of her three times? No. Jesus dropped the agape love and he said to Peter, are you even my friend? The love of friendship, philae. Jesus made the change there and it grieved his heart. Someone look at you and say, are you even my friend? Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. And he did then and he does now. He knew how Peter followed afar off. He knew how Peter had denied him three times. You know all things. And now you're even questioning me if I am your friend. That cut him to the quick. It's like the doctor pressed on the right place. He said, oh, the patient says. You know all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. So now, as you think about this conversation that's going on and the questions that the Lord has asked, Peter says, you know I'm your friend. Remember, Lord, when you came by here a few years ago, no one following you, you called me. I followed you. Doesn't that prove that I love you? I don't know, Peter. I'm just asking you. Oh, by the way, Lord, remember, I left my family. I left my family to follow you. Doesn't that prove that I love you? I don't know, Simon. I'm just asking you. But, Lord, remember... remember that big night out here when the storm came up and we were in the boat and you came walking out on the water? Who was the one that was willing to step out of the boat and come to you on the water? Peter. Doesn't that prove that I love you? That I was your friend? I don't know, Peter. I'm just asking you. Oh, Lord, remember back there in the garden when you were arrested? Who was the one that grabbed up a sword to defend you? Me. And if he hadn't have been fast, he'd lost his head, not his right ear. Makes me wonder if Peter was left-handed. I was the one that to defend you. Doesn't that prove that I love you? I don't know, Peter. I'm just asking you. But who was it up on the Mount of Transfiguration when we met with Moses and Elijah? Who was it said, hey, let's build three tabernacles here. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Lord. Doesn't that prove that I love you? You know, some reason or another, we get in our minds that the externals always prove the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have all of our externals correct and right. We can. And still not love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is interested in the interperson, isn't he? Always has. And we also know this, what we are inwardly is what we will be outwardly. But the Lord had gotten through to Brother Peter. Yeah, Lord, you knew all those things that I did. And so the Lord, you know, the blessedness of the love of Christ to confront you and me. When we think we're altogether and perfect, sinless oftentimes. Thank the Lord that he loves us enough that he doesn't take his hand from us. Amen. And let us go. And love us enough to confront us. And if someone, by the way, should confront you, don't be quick to slap the hand. It may be something away back there. Don't be guilty of slapping the hand of the Lord. He sends people in our lives to show us because he loves us. He said, feed my sheep. Verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. That's the word willing there. Remember when you were young? Yeah, well, yeah. Remember how you just went where you wanted to go? Wherever you were willing to go, you went. Didn't pay any attention. Oftentimes, say, teenagers pay no attention to mom and dad. Just going to do what I want to do. And when you were young, Peter, you just went wherever you wanted to go. Now, it's going to change. But when thou shalt be old, verse 18, when you're old, you meant well when you declared that you loved me with a love that would lay down your life. You probably forgot that I should lay down my life for you before you lay down your life for me. That it did. But when you get older and you have grown in grace and in love of the Lord Jesus Christ, someone's going to take you and bind you and carry you away. You're going to stretch forth your hands, verse 18, and carry thee where thou wouldest not, for the flesh would shrink away. To do what? To be crucified. I don't know. I appreciate history, information that we have. But I've read where Peter was crucified head down. So I don't want to be crucified like my Lord was crucified. Head downward. He did die. The excruciating death. So the Lord is finished with the confrontation, if you will. And so he looks at Peter. And note, we read 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he saith unto them, follow me. So Peter does, just starts following the Lord. But he hears a sound behind him in the sand. Who's that? It's my good friend John. And they were close friends, beloved. When the Lord sent a couple of his disciples out to prepare for the Passover supper, he took two that trusted each other, and that could be confidential. No, he wouldn't send Judas. They were close friends. He said, what about him? What's going to happen to him? Lord, what shall this man do? Verse 21. What's going to happen to him? I wonder. Inclined to believe that it was a question concerning love. You've told me what's going to happen to me. You have appointed the day for me to die, and I don't know when it'll be, but you've told me how I will. How would you do if you were locked up in prison or jail and you were appointed to die the next day? Would you sleep? Not likely we would. Remember, James was beheaded. The Jews loved it. Cain said, we'll take Peter as well. They really pleased the Jews. Get Peter out of the way. Put him in prison, waiting life to pass over. Mistranslation called Easter there. He slept. God sent an angel. Hey, elbowed him. Hey, get up, man. We've got to get out here. Did you believe that he believed that he would die the next day? No. Why? He's supposed to die by crucifixion, not the sword. But in closing, as you go through the book of Acts, you come up on chapter 3 especially, you find those two brethren working together yet. Great comrades for the Lord, loving the Lord, loving the people, and serving him. And I think that John, who recorded this, he recorded the events that transpired perhaps 60 years ago, but he remembered the details, and he gave them to us. May we, beloved, just remember there is a time to be born, there is a time to die. And God has a purpose and he has a plan. And let's make best that we can for the Lord Jesus Christ while we are here. And may we make all of our wrongs right, that he won't have to put an object lesson out before us to say, hey, you need to go back. You need to go back. Or someone speak words to us that would bring to memory some wrongs of the past. Let's stay clear, keep our conscience clear, and let's be as Nathaniel, beginning of the book, and still be there at the end of the book.